Word of mouth.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. Pamela Yates was a young, idealistic filmmaker when she went to Guatemala in 1982 to make a documentary about a hidden war. 200,000 people were murdered in the conflict. Many were indigenous people living in the highlands. Many disappeared into unmarked graves. Pamela and her colleagues followed guerrilla fighters and tagged along on army sweeps. She even interviewed then President of the Republic, General Efrain Rios Montt. Her film, When the Mountains Trembled, awakened outsiders to the war being supported and funded in part by the U.S. Decades later, Pamela was contacted by a lawyer who hoped the film might prove that the massacres carried out by the army and police constituted a genocide against the Mayan people, and that the orders for annihilation had come from the top. Pamela joined the team and began a new documentary quest. She tells the story in Granito, How to Nail a Dictator, which begins airing on POV this Friday, but can be viewed online for the next month. And Pamela Yates joins us from the Argo Studios in New York. Pamela, so great to have you on Word of Mouth.
Thank you so much, Virginia.
Guatemala was a very dangerous place in 1982. What did you know about what was going on at the time?
Well, I knew that the Guatemalan journalists who were trying to cover the story were being killed, and international journalists who tried to travel to Guatemala were being stopped at the airport, interrogated, and deported. So I thought it was a very important story to tell, one of the unknown stories of the war that was sweeping Central America.
So partly through your exuberance and partly, I guess, through your naivete, you went in, you got contacted to actually meet with the guerrillas, and you went up to the highlands. Who were they, and what were they fighting for?
Well, you know, I had been working in Central America as a sound recordist on other people's films when I heard about the war in Guatemala. So I wasn't really naive. I was actually very determined to tell this story. And while I was in the other countries, I began to try to find and ferret out sources that could help me, that could serve as intermediaries to the guerrilla army of the poor in Guatemala. And that's eventually how I was able to get in contact with them. They were students, idealistic students. They were also young Mayas who had decided that they wanted change in their country, that they were willing to fight against a brutal military dictatorship, and that they were, that for the first time, the Ladinos and the indigenous people were actually joining forces to confront this dictatorship. So this marked a completely new era in Guatemala and in Latin America.
Oh, and the footage of them, they're so young. Young women, the Che Guevara flag, you know, sort of flapping in the breeze. And this guerrilla commander, Gustavo Moeno, I believe, he allowed you to film. Now, wouldn't this be potentially extremely dangerous if the film fell into the wrong hands?
Absolutely. But I think that they trusted us enough, and we had enough structure in place to get the film out of Guatemala, that they went for it. Now, this took a long negotiation. We negotiated with them over months and months and months. And then finally, we were able to go. So by the time we were able to go into the mountains, traveling at night with our guerrilla guides and hiding in Indian safe houses during the day, you know, the fear was largely dissipated, and the excitement about actually being able to tell this story replaced it.
And you later also kind of wangled your way on board an army helicopter on troop transport, filmed some of what was going on throughout months, I guess, spending time with the military's brutal campaign against the rebels. There's a scene of them sort of lining up people in a hillside village, and in this footage, checking their name off of a list.
Y si aparece en esa lista, entonces mueren.
So what are we hearing? What is this smiling man in the military uniform telling you? What happens if people's names are on this list he has?
If their name appears on the list, they're to be killed.
That's simple.
It doesn't matter if they're civilians, or it doesn't matter if they're guerrillas. They're just to be killed.
Keep going. I'm sorry.
No, and that was the way that the counterinsurgency campaign was carried out, and that's how the Maya indigenous population, civilians, were targeted for assassination.
And many of them just say, I'm just following orders. Now, this became the kind of crux of the case being made by the lawyer. Amudina Bernabeu, if I'm saying that properly.
Yes.
She was trying to find proof that the army conducting these sweeps and field operations was following orders of the high command. Now, how did your film figure into her case?
Because I had interviewed General Efraim Rios-Montt in 1982 and asked him about the role of the army and the repression. He denied the repression. He denied that the army was killing. And he said, I'm the chief of staff of the army. If I don't control what the army is doing, then what am I doing here?
Yeah. I just want to have the listeners hear just a little bit of this. You're digging through these outtakes, breaking out your old boxes, and there on roll 274 is your interview with General Efraín Rios-Montt.
El valor nuestro está en esa capacidad de poder responder a las acciones de mando. Eso es lo más importante. El ejército está en capacidad de reaccionar, porque si yo no puedo controlar el ejército.
So he's saying to you basically what? If I weren't in charge, what am I doing here?
Exactly. And that the army is responding to the chain of command. And as the president and chief of staff of the army, he is at the top of the chain of command. So that was in 1982. And in January of this year, when he was 86 years old, he found himself in a court of law in an evidentiary hearing where he was saying massacres happened. His defense attorney was saying massacres happened, but Efraim Rios-Montt didn't know what the officers under him were doing. Mm. So the prosecution actually projected that interview in the courtroom along with other evidence to convince the judge that General Rios-Montt should be indicted for genocide.
And the judge
agreed with that.
It's such a powerful moment for you as a filmmaker. What was going through your head?
I was extremely satisfied. I was so happy to, for all the Guatemalans that you actually get to meet in the film Granito, who have never given up on the quest for justice over three decades. And many of the Maya indigenous people, including people from our film Granito, were actually in the courtroom at that moment.
Right.
And we amended the end of the film to include that. This is the first former head of state in the Americas to be indicted for genocide. What a victory for human rights and justice worldwide.
We're talking with Pamela Yates. She's a documentary filmmaker whose film of the genocide against the Mayan people in Guatemala during the 1980s became instrumental in making a case in an international court and, as you just heard, in a Guatemalan court. A film about that indictment and the many, many people working for justice and resolution in Guatemala is airing on POV online until July the 28th. However, Pamela, that footage was not quite enough to indict him. You had several different people working, and let's separate this first, for a case made at the Spanish National Court. First of all, why the Spanish National Court?
The Spanish National Court has become a leader in the principle of universal jurisdiction, which is a legal principle that says if a country is not pursuing perpetrators of the most heinous crimes like genocide and crimes against humanity, then any country that has signed on to the Genocide Convention can take up their cases. And I guess we first heard about this when the Spanish National Court had General Pinochet from Chile detained in London and tried to get him extradited. But the importance of the Spanish National Court proceedings is that it really helps embolden judges and prosecutors in a country like Guatemala to move forward with their own prosecutions, to take the evidence gathered in the Spanish National Court and prosecute the perpetrators in Guatemala. And that's what the Guatemalans have done.
So 18 months of testimony, 30 witnesses to the crime, stories so heartbreaking that the presiding judge himself said he was just kept breaking down. And, of course, many players working on a case of this scope who also presented to the court. There's a woman in the film, Kate Doyle. She's just a terrific character, you know, a terrific worker, a forensic archivist. She combs through the CIA and other documents, and she gets handed this secret file for what is called Plan Sofia, documenting a sweep in Quiche.
This is exactly the kind of communication that we need to prove that there was a two-way flow of information and that the high command was not ignorant of what the patrols on the ground were doing. From the perspective of a prosecutor or an investigator, it is so hard to nail the intellectual authors of these crimes. It is so hard to nail the senior military officers who ordered this. So Plan Sofia is is a very significant, explosive document.
Now, somebody handed Kate that document. Others, like Freddie Precharelli, working to excavate a mass grave at the Verbena Cemetery in Guatemala. He gets a letter threatening him, his family saying that the bones of he and all his team will be scattered through the streets. Who is threatened by this kind of investigation?
The people who committed the crimes from the 1980s. And now they see that they're working their way up the chain of command. More people have been arrested and convicted of crimes committed in the 1980s in Guatemala in the last 2 years than in the previous 30 years. So all this work, the film is one part of a whole web that is comprised of people like the incredible Kate Doyle in the National Security Archives, like Freddie Precharelli, the forensic anthropologist, digging up the mass graves from the time of the genocide. And finally, we're reaching a tipping point for justice in Guatemala. It's a very exciting time.
Mm. Your film brought the war to Guatemala, from Guatemala to the world in some sense. In the 1980s, 83, when the film came out. In 1993, the young peasant woman featured in the film, Rigoberta Menchú, maybe it was 92, I'm sorry, was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. The first indigenous woman ever. I mean, how about you? How did When the Mountains Trembled sit with you all this time, through these years, as this work was being done, and you had this film behind you?
I felt very proud to have made When the Mountains Tremble. And as a matter of fact, in preparation for the Granito broadcast, you can see When the Mountains Tremble right now in English and Spanish streamed on the POV site.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I also... What the story that we told in When the Mountains Tremble was very unique because it was told from the Maya perspective about what was actually going on in the war. And Rigoberta Menchú was such and is such a compelling storyteller. And I think that that's what's let the film live a continued life all this time. We really captured in that film the hope of what the Guatemalans had wanted to achieve in overthrowing the military dictatorship. And they failed. And we failed them. But all these years later, people still want to watch the film because it contained the kernel of that hope that is now bearing fruit in the justice initiative in Guatemala. The struggle has just changed arenas.
In fact, there's just an amazing scene of you showing the film in Ixchel alongside Antonio. Now, he's a man who witnessed all of the grown men in his village being killed when he was just 11 years old. And these kids... You know, many of them children just looking wide-eyed, and many of the people who had lived through it looking so saddened. So where, Pamela, is this revolution now? What's happening in Guatemala?
Well, the revolution is really in the courts, and it's really in this justice initiative. And I think it's very important for the international community to support this justice initiative, to support the current Attorney General, Claudia Paz, who's pushing all of this forward. Because at the same time, the most recent president elected in Guatemala is a former general that presided, well, he's a former general. When he was an officer, he presided in the Ixchel region in 1982. And his idea for Guatemala is to remilitarize the countryside because the political violence of back then has now morphed into drug trafficking violence. And the culture of impunity, not having been stopped in the 1980s, continues in the form of drug trafficking. Mm. So it's still a very violent place.
Filmmaker Pamela Yates, I want to thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Virginia.
Pamela Yates, along with Peter Canoy and Paco Dionis, made the film Granito, How to Nail a Dictator. It airs on POV on Friday, but can also be viewed online for the next month. You can find local TV listings and links to watch the film at wordofmouthradio.org, as well as her previous film, When the Mountains Trembled. Now, concurrent with the documentary's broadcast premiere, the filmmakers are launching an interactive website allowing Guatemalans who suffered through and survived to post their stories. That, the link to that is also at wordofmouthradio.org. Now stay with us for some of your thoughts on spanking and other listener feedback when Word of Mouth continues.